Carolyn meets Father Kevin and learns about Walsingham and the Shrine of Our Lady.
Father Kevin, thank you very much for taking the time today to talk to us about Walsingham and the Shrine of Our Lady.
It's a pleasure. It's very good to welcome you to the shrine.
Thank you. And you have a very special year. You're celebrating a very special year.
Yes, we've celebrated this year the centenary of the restoration of the shrine by Father Hope Passon, who was the vicar of Walsingham from 1921 to 1958. So a very long time he was a vicar here. But he had a great devotion to Our Lady, to Mary, the Mother of Jesus. And he was determined to restore the shrine, which had been one of the major shrines of Our Lady in Europe in the Middle Ages, obviously destroyed at the time of the Reformation. And his work, his vision, brought about the restoration of the shrine 100 years ago. So in 1921, he was made the vicar. And the year later, in 1922, he set up a statue of the image of Our Lady of Walsingham in his church, in the parish church here in Walsingham. And from that moment, there were daily prayers said at the statue, and that the shrine was established there, and pilgrims began coming back to Walsingham to pray and to ask for Our Lady's prayers for their in their lives. And so that's what we've been celebrating this year, that moment when the image was placed back on in the centre of the shrine of the church of St Mary's, and pilgrims returned to Walsingham again to offer their devotions.
Did he have a... Were there archives that gave a design for the statue?
Yes, there was very little to go on, but what they did have was an almost complete wax seal of the medieval priory, the Augustinian priory, which had care of the original Holy House of England's Nazareth. So the seal had an image on it of Our Lady, and it's believed that that was the distinctive image of Our Lady of Walsingham, the statue of Our Lady of Walsingham.
And that image was saved.
Yeah. So it's now in the British Museum, I believe. But that's what they modelled the what we now see recognise as the image of Our Lady of Walsingham. That's what they modelled it upon.
But the history of Walsingham goes way back, I think. Could you say more?
The original foundation year is 1061. That was the time of Edward Confessor, was the king of the time. And that's when the local lady of the manor, the Lady Richeldis, received a vision of Our Lady. And in it, Mary spoke to her and took her on a spiritual journey to her home in Nazareth, where she'd grown up and where she lived, and where she received the message from the angel Gabriel. And she instructed the Lady Richeldis to build a copy of her house in Nazareth here in England, here in Walsingham. And it was to, it became a place which helped pilgrims to focus on the joy of the Annunciation, the joy of the message of the angel that the Word was going to be made flesh, was made flesh in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And that Mary was the one who received this message and said yes to it, to that request of God, that calling of God to become the mother of the Saviour.
Were there any other reasons why Walsingham was significant?
No, it was a very, very insignificant place, really. I mean, there was the Walsingham Manor, and Lady Richeldis was the lady of the manor. So it was obviously sort of a... agriculturally, very sort of very rich land here, so there were various, you know, farms and the big house, as it were, the manor house. But other than that, it was a very, very small village and nothing particularly to single it out from any others, really. It was nothing else here other than sort of farmsteads, I suppose, and the manor.
But it did before Henry VIII. It did enjoy royal patronage, I think, didn't it?
Indeed, yes. Yeah. So lots of English monarchs came to Walsingham. I think Henry III was the first to make pilgrimage here. And then all the monarchs since made their way here. And you know, we've had the famous ones, and we've had queens as well, and members of the family also made the pilgrimage. Catherine of Aragon famously came to pray for a child. Mm-hmm. And so it really has enjoyed considerable royal patronage.
And when was the heyday of pilgrimage, would you say?
Well, probably around the 14th, 15th centuries, when there was a great flowering of devotion to Our Lady in the church at that time. Lots of poetry and art stems from that period, often, you know, focused on the Blessed Virgin Mary. So I think that those were probably the days when the shrine really became really famous, mm-hmm. and people travelled long distances to get here. It was sort of second only to the Shrine of St. Thomas at Canterbury. So it's sort of an indication really of its importance and its fame.
And when I think of pilgrimage, and I think maybe most people would be Santiago Compostela or walking into Rome, but equally you can walk from London to Walsingham. Can you?
Yes, there's actually recently there's been a new Camino launched from London to Walsingham, and a book has been published outlining the route and giving lots of information. A really, really, really good book, which is going to be officially launched here next year in March, and then there's a group of pilgrims going to actually complete the Camino from London to Walsingham in April. So we're looking forward to that, and you know, because lots of pilgrims did come from, obviously came from London in the Middle Ages, and this is a sort of a reconstruction of the route as far as possible, given the current modern roads and all the rest of it. But it's really exciting to be able to open up the Camino again from London.
And so, how long are they going to allow for the walk?
I'm not quite sure. I think it may be a week, 5 days to a week. It depends. I think it's quite a way. Mm-hmm. As we know, even driving to London is quite a journey.
It might be faster to walk.
Yes, probably sometimes. We'll probably get through London, be quicker to walk.
And where will it start off from London?
It's starting from St. Magnus the Martyr Church, just in the city. So that's where it officially starts from, and then concludes here at the shrine in Walsingham.
And I understand there's been a lot of work with the way marking from the Norwich cathedrals recently.
Yes, that's been another project. So there's a new way being launched from Norwich Cathedral through Norfolk to Walsingham. And several pilgrims have already arrived here, having completed that walk from Norwich. And they've got beautiful sort of markers on the way to encourage people and to make sure they're on the right route.
Yes.
And a beautifully designed signage and markers.
As I understand it, roughly, it follows the route of the Fakenham Road north, doesn't it?
Yes, I think that's I haven't done it myself, but not yet. I was hoping to this autumn, but it didn't work out. But I believe that's the route.
Mm-hmm. How many pilgrims do you receive here?
We have accommodation here, and we welcome groups of parish groups and individuals through the year. And in a normal year, we usually have about 10,500 residents.
Gosh.
Here at the shrine. The shrine sort of opens in early February and closes the middle of December. Mm-hmm. So through all those months, we welcome parish groups from all over the country and even overseas. In normal times, obviously we've had a bit of an interruption with the pandemic, but We usually expect to welcome about 10,500 residential pilgrims here at the Anglican Shrine. The Catholic Shrine also has accommodation, and I'm not sure what numbers they have, but they too welcome pilgrim groups, and they have major day pilgrimages as well, from various communities. The Tamil pilgrimage happens every year, and
from South India.
Yes, but from London, or wherever. But the Tamil community in London makes its pilgrimage here, and there can be up to 10,000-15,000 pilgrims coming on that particular day, which is a huge number.
Gosh, how do you accommodate them all?
Glad I'm not responsible for that. They only come for the day, but you know, it's quite an operation, I think, dealing with all the coaches and cars. I mean, it was estimated before the pandemic that the shrine and the Walsingham itself welcomes around 250,000 pilgrims and visitors a year. So it's quite a significant place of pilgrimage. And of course, also of historical interest as well, and of beauty.
Mm. Mm. Could you tell me a little bit about your work here?
Yes, I'm the priest administrator, so I have responsibility for the day-to-day running of the shrine and the care of the staff, and also of maintaining the pilgrimage programme. I'm one of the guardians of the shrine, but the guardians are like the trustees of the shrine and have they sort of govern the shrine. And I'm entrusted with that work of maintaining the pilgrimage program, caring for the staff, and welcoming pilgrims.
And I think you have pilgrimages for health reasons too.
Yes, we have many pilgrims who come in seeking Mary's prayers for healing and renewal and refreshment, and that can be a spiritual healing, but also physical. And people come to pray with particularly physical needs that they may have, it always was a sort of shrine famed for its its healing. The gift of healing here is a very significant part of the ministry of the shrine, and remain so to this day.
And you have holy water here, I think.
We have water, yes. We have, one of the signs that accompanied the vision in 1061 was the appearance of water, similar to Lourdes, where the water, the pilgrimage and water have a very close connection. And water is a symbol of renewal and refreshment and of God's grace. So that was very much part of the pilgrimage tradition, was to receive the waters from the well, the Walsingham Well. Obviously, the wells were sort of filled in and became disused following the Reformation. But the amazing thing is that when Father Hope Patton had this shrine church built here and rebuilt the Holy House again in 1931, which was 9 years after he'd set up the image in the shrine in the parish church, when they were digging the foundations, they found a Saxon well, which to him and to us indeed was a sign really of God's favour, and that this was part of the sort of restoration, was to find that well and to be able to offer water again to pilgrims who came here. So the well was incorporated into the newly built Holy House of England's Nazareth, and is offered to pilgrims to this day. And pilgrims love to be what we call sprinkled with it, and water's poured into their hands, and they're able to drink the water or to make the sign of the cross with it, or place some of it on part of their body. That's a very, very important part of the experience of coming to Walsingham.
Mm. And I don't know if this is an appropriate question, but what is the particular significance of the Virgin Mary on pilgrimage?
Well, Mary, obviously, a very, very important role, has been the mother of God's son. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think her obedience to the will of God, her willingness to say yes to God by you know, consenting to being the mother of Jesus is something which inspires Christians, because God calls us all to a particular work, to a particular service to him. And Mary's consent, her willingness to do what God was asking of her, is something that is inspiring. And also the great tradition of Mary being, as she is the mother of Jesus, the church being the body of Christ. There's a great tradition of Mary being the mother of the church and being the mother of all Christians, and a mother who guides and teaches and encourages, so that that is her particular role through her prayers, through her example, and through what she said as recorded in the Gospels.
And that example would set an example for those renewing their faith in pilgrimage.
Yes, yes, it's an inspiring example and a shining one as well, and one that, you know, we believe God has given to us, that he's given Mary to us to encourage us in our Christian pilgrimage and in our pilgrimage through life.
Mm. How have you been celebrating this year?
We've had a special logo to celebrate the centenary, which has been, we've had a badge with the logo on and the usual things, mugs and plates and all the rest of it. Mm-hmm. So that's been a really striking logo. It's a beautiful thing, which is based on the sort of medieval badges and so that's been the sort of the visual part of the celebration. We've had on the day itself, the actual day when Father Hope Pazin set up the statue at St Mary's on the 6th of July, 1922, we marked that with a celebration down at the parish church on the eve of the day. And on the day itself, we had a celebration here of a solemn mass, when all the guardians came and people were invited who have a particular connection with the shrine or a particular contribution they make to it. So they came to that celebratory mass, Thanksgiving mass, and then we had a big lunch afterwards, a hog roast, which was great, yes, with wine. So we had a great day marking the actual day of the centenary. But also we've gone out from Walsingham to various parts of the country, and we've had three major Walsingham festivals in different parts of the country, in three different cathedrals. So the first one was in Exeter Cathedral in May, and then we had another one in Blackburn Cathedral in June, and then a few weeks ago in October we had our final of the festivals at Durham Cathedral. So and at each of those celebrations we've been welcoming around 1,000 pilgrims.
Gosh.
To each one of them. And we've been really very warmly welcomed by each cathedral. They've been very cooperative in the planning of these festivals. I've been relying on clergy who live in those parts of the country to head up the organisation of them. And they've all done a brilliant job. And it's been really memorable occasions, and something will live on the memories of those who attended them and really found them very inspiring days.
And more people being inspired to come to this part of the world.
Yes, I hope so. I mean, you know, I made it clear at each one that, you know, that anybody there who'd not been or hadn't been for some time would be more than welcome. And I hope to see them coming back to Walsingham and to discovering, you know, the great treasures that we have here.
Mm.
And for people to you know, make it part of their lives, because there's so much that Walsingham gives and means, and I think it's, you know, we need to really would like to welcome more and more people to come and discover it.
Mm. Father, thank you so much for taking the time today to talk about the Shrine of Our Lady.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Good to see you.
Carolyn was talking to Father Kevin.